Chanukah Sameach. So today's daf in Masechet Ta'anit, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is Tainis Daf Chof, and we had gotten to the middle of the story. Well, we had finished the story, but now we're going to start commenting on the story. So we had the amazing story of Nachdimon Ben-Gurion, and we said his real name, we're going to see, his real name was not Nachdimon. Tanis where we got up to. That the guy that he owed the money to said, you know, if it hadn't been for that miracle, man, I would have had you cleaned out in court. But what am I supposed to do now? I can't claim that it was during the day, that it was during the night already. It's obviously during the day. So we got up to Tana, Lo Nachdimon Shmo, Ela Buni Shmo. So this guy's name was actually Mr. Bean originally. It wasn't Nachdimon. But they changed his name to Nachdimon. Lama nikra shmo Nachdimon? Because of this amazing story. Shenigdera chama b'avura. Because of the incredible fact that the sun broke through the clouds, only in his schus. And this was already after the water was there. So remember, the second time he went back to the Beis HaMikdash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be modia sheyesh lo avim b'olam. That was only so he shouldn't lose his money and to show, obviously, the relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, because otherwise it would have been very painful. That, okay, I'll give the water to Klal Yisrael, but I'm not going to let anybody, you know, get off of the hook. You took a chance, too bad. That wouldn't look very good. So that itself was also tremendous Kiddush Hashem. So based on that, they changed his name to Nachdimon, as a play on words, for Nigdera. Mr. Nigdara, so to speak. Tanu Rabbanan. There were three people that we know of that Nigdama lehem chama b'avuran. These, the people that were actually kodma, meaning the sun stayed where it was. So this is really interesting because it's a Nachdimon is more like Nigdama rather than Nigdara, no? So anyway, but they were, because it means that the chama stood in the same place. I mean, it was too early, so to speak. So, Shloshe Nigdamadam Chama Bavuran. Moshe, Yoshua, and Nachdimon Ben-Gurion. So, Nachdimon Ben-Gurion, we know from this story. Okay, so we have the Gemara about the story that it took place. Yoshua is a Pasuk. It says, Vayidom HaShemesh, V'yareach HaMatz, is Beferish. But where does it ever say anything about Moshe Rabbeinu, that this was a mice in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? Omar Rabbi Elazar, we learn it out from Gezeirah Shavah. And it says the word Achel, both by Moshe and by Yoshua. Because it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, Achel teit pachtecha, that now I'm going to begin, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to put the terror of you on the face of all of the army. And by Yoshua, it says exactly the same thing. Achel Gadlecha, I'm going to make you great. I'm beginning to make you great. So we see, therefore, that the same idea of how to begin making something impactful across the globe, that it should be on all of the Amim, or I should be able to show the world how great you are, it means that the Chama stood still. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, he said, we learned from a different Gezeirah Shavah. My own reading, I must tell you, of the Pirish that goes by the name of Rashi here, is that it's going out of the way to say that this is not a Gezeirah Shavah, and that it is, that the Torah indicates similarities by similar words, not because they're a Gezeirah Shavah that we have any type of Kabbalah on, obviously, because it's from Divrei Kabbalah. So Rashi is trying to say the concept of Gezeirah Shavah, that's one of the Yud Gimel Midah Shatar and Nidreshes. This idea of finding similar words is a literary issue, which because of that, everybody can have their own insight. So Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman is saying it's a different, not Gezeirah Shavah, but a different connection of the words. Atya teit teit. K'tivacha achel teit pachtecha. U'k'tivata biyom teit Hashem et ha'emori. So therefore, by Yahushua, we have the same concept that in that war, the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over the Amorim was through this nace of the Hamad HaSacham of Alavana. So it must be the same type of Anhaga. Rabbi Yochanan says, you can learn it from the Pasuk itself. You don't need to go look around and find literary usages of the same word. Because by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Lashon of the Pasuk itself is that I'm going to put on them, Asher Yishmu'un Shimacha V'ragzu V'chalumi Panecha. They're going to hear what you are. They're going to hear about you, and they are going to be in terror. Now, I mean, what would that be? That could be Mefarsim all over the place, and that would terrorize people. I mean, where do we have a mice like that in the Torah? The only place we have a mice like that is the same thing that happened by Yehoshua. So, Eimatai Ragzu V'chalumi Panecha, That's a given, because it says Tachas Hashamayim. All of the Amima Shatachas Kol Hashamayim. I mean, anywhere has got to be that the whole world was affected by something that made them terrified. So, as I always put it, I wanted to get to yesterday. This is an amazing story. But I mean, here we're talking about Ramazim in the Torah, Ramazim in Yehoshua. And this has to do with terror over the face of the entire globe. And we learn out that Moshe Rabbeinu also was zeichet to such a thing, just like Yehoshua. Oh, and there was also Nachdimon Ben-Gurion. I mean, you understand that in our terms, I always do this. Shlosha Nikdim Alokhava, you say Moshe, Yehoshua, and Barnea, right? So how would that sound to you? It would sound insane. Moshe, Yehoshua, and Barnea. And that's exactly what it sounded like to the people that were writing this Gemara, right? Moshe Yehoshua, Mr. Booney, Mr. Bean, so he changed his name to Nigdama. That's not astounding. You understand what a pella that is? That's mamish, I think, what the whole point of the Gemara is. You know, we're used to thinking in these terms of these vast, incredible miracles that they, you know, fine, these are things, avosenu siprulanu. You know, we know from the Derech HaKedmin, nonsense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rotze, the Derech HaYish. He can come and be Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua. Would we need a Pasuk to tell me, Achel Teit Pachtecha, Nachdimon Ben-Gurion? It's astounding. It really is when you think about it. Because that's mamish the flavor of the whole thing. That's why the Gemara is doing it. Shlosha, there are three people. Wow. Perfect for Hanukkah, no? Okay, then the Mishnah says, V'cheini ir, shelo yardu alea gishamim. So we had that pasuk, which we were deresh earlier, that both of them end up being l'kololot. Because it says, gam anarchi manati mikem es hageshem, and then it says, v'im tarti al ir achad v'al ir achad lo amtir. Chalka achad would be, and this was the Gemara's drosha, chalka achad, Timater. What is Timater? What is Timater? So we were derish. Tehe makom matar, meaning it'll be completely covered, it'll become a swamp. So even the part that sounds good, the place where there will be water, that's a kloa. That's not a bracha. Timater. And obviously the other one is a kloa. So that means that when it said it in the Mishnah, it says Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, ushtehem l'kloa. Now, on the other hand, we find Rav Yehuda Amar Rav finding remuzim in psukim that sound like a klola, that they were actually a bracha. And that, of course, brings us in the end to the interrelationship of bracha v'klola in Bilam, and that's how we're going to get to the deeper understanding of how things that look bad also have in them elements of tikkun. So let's take the pasuk Haita Yerushalayim Linida Beinehem, horrible thing from Eicha. So Yerushalayim has become like a nida. Omer Yehuda Amar Rav, but that's a bracha. Why is it a bracha? Because there's something unique about a nida, namely that it's a temporary state. So she'll go to the mikveh, and then she's chozera to full love and so on. So ma nida yeshla heteraf Yerushalayim yeshla takana. The whole pasuk is pointing out that this is a state that it's part of the way things are. It's part of the way the world is, and that it becomes ultimately a tikkun that's built into the way the world is. And then when it talks about Haitaka Almana, notice that it uses the word Ke Almana. Sorry. And Ke Almana is a word that people use all the time. This is how Rashi's Masber. To speak of a woman who is not an Almana, and nonetheless, is living, her husband has gone away to a business trip for years. She says, I'm like an almana, anika almana. So that's a common expression. So that's what it says over here. Ki amana means that the whole pasuk is saying Yerushalayim is not an amana, chas v'chalila. An amana is one who doesn't have a husband. Yerushalayim has a husband, and her husband has gone away on a trip, but she's coming back. Ki yishar shalach ba'alal b'dinat hayam v'da'ato lachzor alai. Never meant chas v'chalila to leave her. V'gam ani natati etchem nivzim u'shvalim. Now this sounds like a horrible thing in Malachi. And I'm going to make you, mamish, the most disgusted people by others, so that you're going to be the lowest of the low. Om Rav Yehuda, this is a bracha, because what it means is, and this is mamish what we see in the next week's parasha, the lo mukmi minan lo reshi nahari velo gazirit pati, that they, because of this is what Yosef wanted to do with Paro, that he wanted to bring Davka, the weakest brothers, to show them to Paro, that Paro should not make them officers of his army and members of his government, so the Goyim, they look down at us to the extent that they will never make us, they won't put us into positions of some authority, like to be IRS agents or to be policemen and detectives. The Baruch Hashem, we were spared from being in the type of things that that's all we need is that the Jews should be the ones that are going to be blamed for the taxes or for the police. Another example where Rabbi Yehuda Merav did the same thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be beating up Klal Yisrael the way that a reed is pushed around by any water that comes by. Om Rabbi Yehuda Merav, that's an amazing bracha. Because as Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Om Rabbi Yonatan points out, my dichtiv, ne'emanim pitz'ei ohev v'na'atarot nishikot sone. That the wounds, the sores that are given you by a lover are 100% ne'emanim. And you know that it was only done because of love. It was only done because he cared about you and wanted to put you into the right place, in the right space. Masha'inkein, when the person who hates you is giving you all of those kisses, Na'atarot nishikot sone. There's a word in English that is na'atarot, according to the way most of the Mefarshim and Rishonim understand the word na'atarot, and that is unbearable. Because bearable means something that you can carry. Unbearable means it's too heavy to carry around. And that is what na'atarot means. Now they both relate to pitchforks, because we say the atar is also the other meaning of na'atarot. Is that it's hypocritical, it's fake, it's something that comes out at the end to be hurtful. So there he is, he's kissing you, but it's all na'atarot. By the way, this relates to the famous Madonna tattoo, which I'm sure you've all seen, which is absolutely astonishing, right? So what's Madonna's new tattoo? Vayishakehu. Placed on her arm, but with the little dots on Vishakehu to tell me that really he went to bite him. Amazing. So, Imam is incredible. So this is the Ne'atarot Nishikot Sone, God help us from such kisses. Amazing. And what is this referring to? Comes Rabbi Yonason to say that Tova Klala Shekilel Achia Shiloni at Yisrael. So this that Achiah Shiloni said when he was yelling at Yeravam ben Nevat and what was going to happen because of Yeravam ben Nevat and the Avodah Zarah of the Agolim, it's greater Teiva to Yisrael, Yoter mi bracha shebirkan Bilam HaRasha, more than even the bracha that Bilam HaRasha gave them. Because look, Achiah Shiloni is the one who said those words that we just read. He told Yisrael, Ika Hashem et Yisrael, Kasher Yanud HaKaneh B'mayim, and this is what's going to happen, as we would see in Sefer Malachim, this is what he said is going to happen to you. Okay? So think about what that would mean, you know? Because, I mean, Ma Kaneh Zeh Omed B'mkom Mayim. A Kaneh grows in the middle of Mayim, and it's constantly taken care of. It's always provided with enough nutrition. And if it's cut, how quickly does it grow back? Mamish gizomach leaves, you cut it down and it just expands. Vishorashav merubin, because it's in that kind of place, it's very deep roots. Doesn't matter how powerful the winds are, because it doesn't put up any resistance. It simply bends to the forces against it. And Holechu Ba'imahem, exactly what Achi Ashiloni was saying. Kasher Yanud, it bends back and forth. Wind comes out of the west, wind comes out of the east. Makes no difference. Damamu Aruchot, and as soon as the winds are finished, Amada Kameh Bimekomo, it stands tall the way it always was. And the same thing is with Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us terrible, terrible enemies, but we all just bend and the enemies disappear, and then Klal Yisrael stands tall again. Avo Bilam HaRasha, oh yeah, he gave a brilliant brocha. He was Birkan Be'erez, like it says, Ka'arazim. Now, Arazim does not grow. Arazim don't grow in water and needs constant water. Ve'en gizo machalif. If you cut it down, it does not grow back. Ein sharashav merubim. It doesn't have particularly deep roots. And afilu kol haruchot shebaolam shvoto ein mezizot oto bimekomo. They can't budge it. It doesn't bend at all. But the moment you get a really powerful wind, kivan shenashvabo ruach dromit o kartar, just rips it out of the ground. Ve'ofachto opanav. That's what Bilam was hoping for. V'lo'od, and not only that, but the Kana is very special because it's merames to the Kedushas Yisrael. Because the Kana was Zeicha Litolim Enu Kumus Lichtobo Sefer Torah Nevi'im Uchtuvim. That's where the main Kumasim come to write a Tanakh, to write the Torah. So that's unbelievable that in the very curse that he's giving us, he's being merames to the Kedushas Yisrael and to the everlasting stature of Yisrael. Now, the problem is, of course, that when Bilam compared Klal Yisrael to Arazim, he went out of his way to say, Ka'arazim Aleimayim, which is the opposite of what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying, he was Bevorach them with an Erez that is not Aimei B'mokamayim. But he didn't. He said, Ka'arazim Aleimayim. So Rashi, again, if it's Rashi and Tosfos, both bring that the words Aleimayim were inserted into the speech of Bilam by a Malach. So Malach says, Karazim, Aleimayim. And Bilam says, Kinechalim, which can run dry. Natayu. So that is the meaning, according to these Mefarshim, that is the meaning of Vayafoch Hashem et Abracha Liklala. Kiaivcha Hashem Elokecha. How? Through using the Malach to put in the correct Pirish on the words that he used. So it's a completely different approach. But anyway, Lemaisa, this leads to the relationship to Kana. He's Tana Rabbana. Lo'olam yehe adam rach kekane, va'a yehe kasha ke'eres. That's the question. Would you rather be a hammer than a nail? Aha. So a person should always be manning himself to be soft. And not only soft, but bendable, flexible, the way a kona, which that's how we would say it in contemporary language. Learn to be flexible, you know. You'll be pushed around a little bit. You won't get exactly what you want, but in the end, that's going to be much better for you. And there was a maisa that Rebbe Lazar Berbi Shimon was coming back home from Barnea's neighborhood in Migdal Gedor. And let's hear where Migdal Gedor is, Barnea. Barnea denies it's his neighborhood, I guess because it's a difficult story. So this should, by the way, should be written up. Anybody who's keeping any notes, we found a place that's not Barnea's neighborhood. So in the future, when he starts up with us, we'll say to him, remember Migdal Gedor, and that will cause him to shrink back. Anyway, so he's coming back from learning by his Rebbe, and he's sitting over there. He's got himself a Ferrari, sort of more like a donkey, but, you know, in those days. So he's driving his Ferrari. Look, at least he had a sunroof, right? And Mitayel Asfat HaNahar, and he's having this great time. Remember Mitayel? We saw back in Masechet Sukkah that the Mitayel is Chutz LeSukkah. That is Sameach, and that it means that you're not just you're walking, but you're having a good time. So he was like really in a very high state. This is Samach Simcha Gedola. He was like, he was in a state of super, super manic. And thus he was really happy. Anyway, so as again, the Rashi brings that there's forum that say that this was Ibeferish, that it was Eliyahu HaNavi, not Adam Echa. So anyway, Eliyahu HaNavi comes along to teach him a lesson and not to go around thinking he's so great. And, you know, you could just throw your hands up and just be super happy without caring about anything. So he shows himself as an Adam Echad Shayam Mechoar Biyoter. So this guy was incredibly ugly. And of course, the Mefarshim Gedolim was incredibly ugly. He looked like a real mafia guy, that just like, you know, like these kind of people that you see, that really are physically ugly to go along with their mental ugliness, which is very common. So this guy comes over to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, just self a chutzpah to go, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, as if he has a right to call him Rebbe. V'lo yichzir lo. He didn't answer him. Instead, he said to him, Reka, you boor. Look at this. Kama mechoar oto aish. Look how ugly you are. Shema kol b'neircha mechoarim kemotcha. But you come from such a society that this is how normal people look? They look like they come like straight out of hell? Amar lo. Look, you know, I don't really know the answer to that. But I can tell you one thing. If you really think that I am defective, what you normally do when you find a defective product is you call up the manufacturer, right? So I think you should call the manufacturer and complain about the defective product. I mean, look at this piece of garbage that you created. I mean, come on, God, what's wrong with you? So I can't answer your question, but I think you have to go to the factory, the Umansh Asa'ani, and tell him, Kama b'chor klei zeh sha'asita. This is outrageous that you make such ugly things. So that was a real slap in the face. So Rabbi Elazar realized, you know, first of all, this guy is not Stam, a mafioso. Okay, so given Giada Batzma Shechata, he realized that he had no right to jump to conclusions like that. So he jumps off of his chamor, and he falls down on the ground, and he bows down to the guy, and he says, you're right, Naneti Lecha, please be meichel you. No, well, what do you mean? I mean, I can't be meichel you until you go and complain to the factory, no? And tell him, Emorlo, I mean, stick to your words. Maybe I'll get something good out of it. Emorlo, kame mechoar, klize shasita. Anyway, poor Rebbe Elazar was going around this guy, begging him the whole time, until they finally got to the place where Rebbe Elazar was. The whole city comes out, Rebbe Elazar's home, Rebbe Elazar, come out. Yotzu b'nehiro likrato. And everybody comes to Rebbe Elazar, ah, Rebbe, Rebbe, Mary, Mary. So this guy, the ugly guy, says, who are you calling Rebbe, Rebbe? This guy, the guy that keeps, for some crazy reason, following you and trying to talk to you. Oh, God, him? Well, I can tell you one thing. If this guy is a rabbi, there shouldn't be any other rabbis like this. He's a poor specimen of a rabbi. So I can tell you, imze rabbi, al yirbu kamoto b'Yisrael. Why? Well, why are you talking like that? Neymar. So you told him over the whole story. Amalam kach v'kach asali. This is the kind of rabbi you want. Amrulah, so they said to the man, okay, you're right. You know, everybody makes mistakes. Afal pikein b'cholo. You should be merchalim because he's an Adam Godel b'teira. So Amarlam, so the ugly man says to them, for your sake, I'll be merchalim. Bishvilchem, areini mochelo, but only on condition. He has to promise that this is not the way he's going to go to act in the future. Shlo yeh ragil la sotkein. And that was when Rabbi Elazar, Miyad Nichnas Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and he was derish in the Beis HaMedrash, la'olam yeh adam rach kikaneh, ve'al yeh kasheh ke'erez. That's exactly why he said it, and that's why the Zohar Kaneh Litolim Enukumus Lichtoba Sefer Torah Tvilinu Mezuzot. It's a remez, just like the Torah is only Nichmas and Amakam Shofel and Anivas like Meshe Rabbeinu Vanach Luma. That's the way people who learn Torah have to be. Now, the next thing that we learned in the Mishnah was that where we find a pattern of collapsing buildings or of some type of plague, then these are things that require a tainus. So we spoke about what's considered to be a dever. What about a mapolet? So these types of collapses, you have to understand that we're talking about an inexplicable collapse, meaning that these were buildings that were properly made. I mean, if you want to build something that is built in, going to collapse, and you don't make a tainus for that, you make a tainus for something where you're trying to explain that it's because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger that this is happening. Rav Nechunya ben Hakana suggests, Sandy. I think they say that, actually. So Tana Rabbana, Mapolet Shamru, the buildings are talking about, they're healthy buildings, they're briot. They are not ruyot lipol, velo ruyot lipol, but not buildings that anyway are probably going to collapse. Wait a minute, you just said the same thing twice. You said they're strong buildings, briot, and then you say that are not royally pole, as opposed to royally pole. It's the same thing. I mean, which ones are called sturdy? You know, I knew briot, and I understand real appeal. I knew ruot, I knew ruyotli pole. I mean, is it the same thing? Ruot, so they're like condemned buildings, and they are ruyotli pole. Same thing. Ah, no, I'll tell you. There's two completely different things over here. Lo tzricha de naflu machmat govayu. So basically, they may be built well, but they're exposed to the wind. They're too high. Inami de kaiman aguda de naharat. So they may be well-made buildings, but they're ruyot lipol. Or they're built in Miami, where over there the water is going to get under the foundation and they end up collapsing. So they may be briot, but they are, because of other reason, ruyot lipol. There was a case of this wall that was in bad shape, and Rav and Shmuel would never walk under it. And this was even though it was there for 13 years. So look, it's not ruyot lipol. I'm going to say something that's been standing in this same state for 13 years. You know, I mean, you don't have to worry about today. It's going to decide to fall. But nonetheless, it was in very bad shape. So it was ru'uot, but you can't say it's ru'uyot lipol. This happens all the time. I mean, I see these kind of things in which you look at something and you're convinced there's no way that this wall is not going to collapse. These walls are hanging over like on a 45-degree angle, but they've been this way decade after decade. And every time you walk by, you say, this thing can't possibly go on. It just keeps going. So they refused to go under that wall. So one day, Rav Ada bar Ava was in town, and he was walking along with them. So Shmuel said to Rav, you know, let's go around the wall like we usually do, drag him with us. Says Rav, you don't need to. Are you kidding? We've got Rav Ada bar Ava with us. No way this wall is going to collapse with a tzaddik like Rav Ada bar Ava. I'm not afraid of any walls. So this is, you know, you can't blow, wolf, blow. But I'm not going to be able to blow your wall down. And what was this? Rav Ada bar Ava was famous. Ravuna had a bunch of wine that he had put into a garage that had gotten to a point where it was in very bad shape. It was going to collapse. So it was an abeta re'iyah. He wanted to get the wine out of there before the building collapsed over it. But he couldn't go in because it was dangerous to go in. So what does he do? So he starts talking to Rav Ada bar Ava in the area, and they start talking about a shaila, and he gets some kashas. Anyway, so he's mashkei b'shmaitzitzei, and he kept him going with this, a lot of kashas and discussion, until he managed to get all of his wine out of there. And then they walked out of the garage, and the garage collapses. So Rav Ada walks out, all of a sudden there's this massive boom, and he turns around and he understands what just happened, that he obviously was being used as a way for Ravuna to get his wine out of there. And he was not happy about it. Ikpid. So he was very upset, because he holds, like Rabbi Yanai says, that la'olam al ya'amod adam bimkom sakana v'yomar osim li neis. Person should never take advantage of his zechuyas, be in a place that's dangerous, and say, no, I don't have to worry about it. Sure, a nes would be done for me. Shamei nosim lo nes. And furthermore, even if mina shamayim, they are doing the nes, minakim lo mischuyotav, it comes out of your account. Because Amr of Chanan, where do we see this? Mikra. Because Yaakov Avinu said, katonti mikol hachasadim mikol haemet. So that means my account is in bad shape because of all of these amazing things that you've done for me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, I am afraid of Esav because I don't have the zechuyot that I once had. What was so great about Rav Ada Bar Abba that they could use him as a talisman against collapsing garages? So my avi uvde Rav Ada Bar Abba. Well, ki adi itmar shalut al midavet Rav Yisera, and some say this was what they asked Rav Ada Bar Abba. How is it that you were ma'arich yamim, that you're so, you have such longevity? Amar lehem, I can tell you, miyamai lo ikparti b'toch beti. Never in my life did I even act angry in my home, even though you're allowed to, as the Rambam says, you don't really get angry, but you pretend to be angry. I always was gentle. That's number one. Lo tza'arati b'fnei misha gadol mimani. I was always careful not to take even one step. Lo tza'arati, even if I was walking by the side, sometimes the other person who's greater than me maybe would slow down. I wouldn't realize I would pull ahead of him. Never happened. Lo yirharati b'mevaot apadunafot. I never allowed my machshavas to think about divrei Torah, even though sometimes that he paskin, the way we said before, the Rabbi Yochanan says you can put your hand over your mouth and you don't have to, you can be mahar. He wasn't even mahar in a place that wasn't clean. V'lo halachti arba amot b'lo Torah b'lo tefillin. I never in my life walked 4 amas without thinking in Torah, without wearing tefillin. V'lo yashanti b'beit ha-midrash, lo shenat kivah, v'lo shenat arai, and I never, even though it was mutter for Tamei Chachamim, I was always machmir myself never to sleep in a Beis HaMidrash. V'lo sasti b'takalat chavirai, I never took any kind of joy in anything that the other person was brought down for. So somebody made a mistake and and that made me look better. I never took anything out of that. I never used a nickname to call. I always called people by their full name with their cherets. Some say even bechanichato. If it has some, bechanichato would be like a family, the way that people refer to that family, the family of, if it had something that was negative in it. Anyway, so now Rav Huna apparently did not hold that he had the madrega of Rav Ada Bar Abba. So he needed Rav Ada Bar Abba to protect him from the collapse of the garage. But you should know that Rav Huna himself was an awfully big tzaddik, because Rava once said to Raphim Bar Popa, Leimalan mar mehani ma'mile mal yata davi avid Rav Huna, could you tell us over some of the unbelievable maisim that Rav Huna would do? Omar Lay, look, I mean, I don't remember anything from when he was younger. I really only know of the last part of Rav Huna's life. I can tell you those things. So every day that was cloudy, he would go out in a golden palanquin. They would carry him around. And he was able, because of that, to command the people in the town, Jew and non-Jew alike, because he had the appearance of being someone very important. And he would go through the entire city because he was afraid that the approaching clouds were an indication of a heavy storm. And he would look around to find any type of possible danger. If he found a wall that looked like it was in danger of falling, he knew it would take years to get the city to do anything about it. So for his own expense, he would have the thing torn down and rebuilt on his expense, unless the guy could afford it. So he would tear it down. And if the owner could afford it, then he would make him rebuild it. He would rebuild it on his own expense. The Chopanya de Malay Shabbata, every single Erev Shabbos, he would send somebody to the shuk, and if choyakadavi paishel leginoi, anything that hadn't been sold in advance of Shabbos, he would buy, and he would throw it into the river. Throw it into the river? So the reason he threw it into the river was because he wanted to make, we don't know, but why did he buy? He bought it because He wanted to make sure that the people that were selling in the shuk would not be facing any kind of losses. Because if they couldn't sell everything, then they would reduce what they had to sell. And then if people needed these vegetables or fruit for Shabbos, they wouldn't have them. So he wanted to make sure that no matter what people brought, it would be sold. So then, but if you're going to buy him, I mean, give them away to aniyim. No, no. Because zimnin de samcha da'atayu v'lo atilu mizman. If they end up giving it to the poor, this is like the old argument about governments, you know, surpluses, all the agricultural surpluses issue. You see this all the time in the news about dumping tons and tons of tomatoes and so on. Why don't you give them to the poor? So why don't you give them to the poor? Says the Gemara, he wouldn't give them to the poor. Because if the poor got used to being supported by him at the times that there would be things left over, then they would rely on that. And then they wouldn't come to buy stuff for Shabbos. And there's no guarantee that there's going to be things left over. There's no guarantee that there's going to be a surplus. So they would end up not having what to eat. Okay, but don't throw it in the river. I mean, give it to animals or something. I mean, it's outrageous to throw it into the river. Now, Rashi Lamaisa brings that when he threw it into the river, it wasn't that it was nifsad. It meant that they would float down rivers. It would put them in something that somebody would find. And somebody would end up being nene from these paras. But since it was found, he couldn't possibly rely on the fact that the next time he goes out to the river, he's going to find something floating down the river. So they wouldn't come to be semech on it. But meanwhile, they would find a treasure and they would be nene from it. That he felt was more important. So why not give it to an animal? Because kesavar ma'achal adam ein ma'achilin l'behema. You don't feed things that were meant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's teva, for humans to give them to animals. Same way that we have the Gabi Dinyanim of Shemitah. We don't do less than the best use of something, because that's like a bizayon for the Eichlin. You're saying, you know, these things, they just happen to be there. We use them for this, we use them for that. Instead of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's teva, that this was given to us. I mean, but if you're not going to give them, and you're just going to put them into the river hoping that something will come of them, so then don't buy it. No, because that's the point. The buying, that's a given. Nimtzeit makshilan latid lavo, because then the people that are coming to sell are not going to bring the same amount of food the next week. And what if there's a greater demand? The people won't have what to eat for Shabbos. Ki avilei milta dasuta, when he had some type of medication that was only available to people of means, and, you know, nobody else had them. So he was the only one that could afford the Pfizer vaccine, you know, in that area. And in those days, people were actually intelligent enough to want the vaccine. So what would he do? So have a mile kuza mine, he would fill up this big container with this medication, and he would hang it from his home. And he would say, anybody who needs, just come and take. Nobody's going to ask any questions. And some say that he also knew how to deal with shifta. Remember that shifta is what you're allowed to wash your hands for, even on Yom Kippur, because it chas v'shalom, you could become ill, because it's a shade. If you didn't have your hands washed, it's difficult to get water for washing your hands in those days. So he would put a kuza de maya, and he would hang always fresh water from his door. Called it Tzarech Leitzev Leil Delolis Takein. Anybody who needs to wash Negovasser should wash, because otherwise he's going to be in a matzav of sakana. And when he would make a meal, Havi Potach Levave, he would open up the doors of his house, and he would announce Koman Ditzrich Leitzev Leicho, which becomes part of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Anybody who needs something to eat, please come in, come in. The doors are open. So Rava heard all of this. Rava said, I can compete with all of these things, but I can't compete with the last one. To open up my doors around here, oh my God, lo matzino lemevad. Because in the Fisha b'nei chela de mechusa, in mechusa, you know, remember that Rava lived in Los Angeles, was conspicuous consumption and so on. But in those kind of cities, there are so many homeless. So there are in the Fisha b'nei chela, there are so many homeless people, they would eat up everything I have, and I wouldn't be able to afford it. They would eat me out of house and home. Others learn that it's talking about B'nai Chela, the way we had back in Pesachim, B'nai Chela, that there's so many people that the government used to keep on the cheshbon of individuals, if I would open up the door like that, so then I would be wiped out very quickly.